Listen, I want to talk to you about the fact that the Lord is our shepherd. We need His leadership, His shepherding care in our life. And I hope to maybe tie into some of the things that you all talked about on retreat this weekend. It's Good Shepherd Sunday. It's just that time where we acknowledge that the Lord really cares for us. And He is our leader, our shepherd, and He died for us. He's a shepherd who loves us. So it is that we are today to meditate on this, and I want to talk about this gospel in three steps. Now, the first step is, I'm just going to call it the situation of the sheep. Anyone got a situation? And you're like, we all got some situations going on. But listen, the Lord is very careful, and He keeps repeating, in fact, three times He says, I'm not like those other shepherds, those false shepherds. Listen to some of the things Jesus said. He said, whoever does not enter the sheepfold through the gate but climbs in somewhere else is a thief and a robber. Those who came before me, those false shepherds, they are thieves and robbers. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the history of this and then apply it to today. At the time of Jesus, it was a time that was rich with expectation that the Messiah would come soon. And part of what drove this was the political situation. The Roman government was there, and they were kind of a tough customer. You didn't mess with the Romans, and if you got out of line, they would ruthlessly punish. And a lot of people really hated the Romans. And they started thinking, you know, our scripture says the Messiah is going to come. And they began to think of the Messiah not so much in spiritual ways, but more political and economic and worldly ways. So the Messiah would come and overthrow the Roman government. He would come in on a war horse, throw them out, lead an army against them, throw them out, and reestablish the kingdom of David. See, and this was a kind of the notion that the Messiah would come and would do all of these sorts of things. Now, by the way, that's one of the reasons why Jesus didn't like to be called the Messiah, because so many people had mistaken notions about the Messiah. Well, at the time of Jesus, there were a lot of sort of firebrands, these sort of false messiahs who would rise up, and they would gather a little army and try to go up against the Romans and claim they were the Messiah. And it was a terrible, terrible thing. A lot of people lost their lives because of this political unrest that was created by this. They would claim that God had sent them. They would claim that God said that they were to raise up an army and go out and kill a troop of Romans and reestablish the kingdom. And sure enough, it was terrible, terrible bloodshed. A lot of Jewish people and a lot of Roman people lost their lives in these violent outbursts. Josephus, who was a historian at the time, a Jewish historian, said that in those years, from about 30 to around 70 AD, in that 40-year period, there were over 10,000 insurrections, little uprisings that took place. And he may have been exaggerating, but just a little. Terrible, terrible things came from this. And the Lord said, I am not that Messiah. I am not that kind of a shepherd. I don't lead my people to war. I lead them to life. I don't lead them to their death. I lead them to an abundant life of love. I am not that kind of a Messiah. And Jesus said, when I'm gone, there's going to be other false messiahs who will still come along and say, I'm He. Jesus says, don't listen. I'm your Messiah. I'm your shepherd. You know, one of the practices, just to show you how horrible this was, when there was an insurrection, the Romans would then ruthlessly destroy the army, and then they would go into a local town or a village to teach the Jewish people a lesson, and they would decimate the town. Now, most people misuse the word decimate. Decimate doesn't mean to totally wipe out. What it means is to reduce the population by one-tenth. So they would line all the men in the village up, and they would say, they would have them count off 1 to 10. And every 10th man would step forward, and the Romans would take them and crucify them. The Romans would take them and kill them. To say, you mess with the Romans, not only you, but all the local towns and villages are going to suffer. Don't mess with Rome. It was a terrible time, a bloody time. Josephus says that in the Jewish War, 1.2 million Jewish people lost their lives. That's a lot of people. Are you praying with me? So it was a terrible time, and these false messiahs did terrible things and led these conflicts that created horrible, horrible situations where huge numbers of people were killed. And Jesus says, that is not what I've come to do. I've come to give you life. Now listen, young people and older folks as well, we're still in a situation where there are false philosophies, there are false messiahs of a sort who come and say, this is the way, walk in it. And again, we suffer a lot from this. Now listen, young people, there's a lot of folks in the entertainment industry, there's a lot of folks who are out there on the internet, they're saying stuff, they're saying, look, live like I live, you know, talk foul language, drop out of school, use drugs, get involved in illicit sexual union, just do as you please, hate authority, turn against your parents, think they're all a bunch of dodos and idiots, just walk like this and be, just be. I'm telling you, it's nothing but trouble. And let me tell you something else. None of those false shepherds ever died for you. None of them. Only Jesus. You got a lot of folks telling you how to walk, how to talk, how to behave. You got a lot of folks telling you what's cool. But only one of them really loves you. Only one of them. You know, you want to think that you're cool and great and wonderful because other people tell you that doesn't matter. Nope. What matters is that God loves you, that He died for you, and the Lord has something better for you than to just hang out. So again, and older folks, come on, we got it going on too. Let's be honest. It ain't just these young folks. The world constantly tells us the way to happiness is for you to go into debt. You got to get a new do. You got to get a new car every 2 years. You don't. You got to spend a lot of money. The way to happiness is to disrespect people. The way to happiness is to divorce and split. The way to happiness is all kinds of, you know, just buy our product and you'll be happy in 2 weeks. And we too have stuff in the entertainment industry. We've got stuff that's coming into our ears and our through our eyes all day long that has nothing to do with God. And these are destructive philosophies. Just take the sexual revolution. Start looking at the body count of AIDS, of sexually transmitted disease, of abortion. A lot of lost lives, a lot of lower quality lives, broken families, heartbreak, difficulties in our families because of a lack of self-control. Likewise, we see teenage pregnancies and so many difficulties that come from all of that. Alcohol, drugs, these things have been in the culture a long time. A lot of us who are a lot older, we know all about that. And these things destroy. And so again, we've got this situation where the sheep are in a threatening situation where things and philosophies and false ideas and even individuals come and present themselves and try to influence us to do things which in the end only hurt, destroy us, just like in Jesus' time. And Jesus says, listen, don't listen to those false messiahs. Listen to me. I've come to give you life. These other ways bring death. Now, I hope, young people, that you hear that very clearly to begin with. But now I'm going to ask you a question. Not just you, but all of us, including me. Are you smarter than a sheep? Are you? All right. Are you smarter than a sheep? Now, let me remind you that not only then do we see here the situation of the sheep, but now let's look for a moment at the shepherd of the sheep and something about the sheep themselves. The Lord says this, whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, and as the shepherd calls his own sheep, he leads them out, and he walks ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice, but they will not follow a stranger. They will run from that stranger because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Are you, am I, smarter than a sheep? Now let's talk about, we need to understand a little bit about how shepherds worked in the ancient world to understand this image a little bit. Let's say there's about 12 shepherds in a local area, and they've all got a flock of about 100 sheep, okay? So we got 1,200 sheep. That's a lot of sheep. Now, in the colder months of the year, they would take the sheep to a sheltered area where it wasn't quite so windy, and it was fenced off. And at nighttime, anyway, they would lead their sheep into this fenced-off area, and then someone would guard the gate. Now, you say, but how do they figure out what sheep belongs to what shepherd? Right? So you got all these sheep mixed together, and how do they figure out what sheep belongs to what shepherd? And the answer is that the sheep figure it out. Because in the ancient world, a shepherd would lead his sheep, and they would hear his voice. And a shepherd would go in the morning to lead his sheep out, and he'd stand at the gate, and he would call his sheep. He would call his sheep. And the way they called, and I've never heard this, but I'm told that it wasn't just, sheep, come follow me. It would be a chant or a song that they recognized. La 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 la, sheep, la 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 la, you know, right? And the sheep would say, ah, and they would run to their shepherd. But the sheep who didn't recognize that would fall back in fear. And they separate out. So the sheep that understood their shepherd's voice would go out the gate with him, and the rest of them fell back in fear. Now, you know what? Sheep may not have been to the moon and back, but that's pretty smart. To be able to say, I recognize my shepherd's voice, and not only that, I know how to run away from somebody who's not my shepherd. Now, are you that smart? Am I? Listen, one of the reasons we're here today is that we're trying to learn how to recognize the voice of our shepherd more and more perfectly, aren't we? So we have a word of God that's preached to us, where our shepherd, the Lord Jesus, speaks to us. He may be using my voice right now and my personality, too bad for that, but it's Jesus who's speaking to you right now. Understand that in the liturgy, it's not Monsignor Pope, it's the Lord Jesus who's ministering to you in this Mass. And I pray he's using me right now to speak to you. And listen, he's trying to teach us to recognize his voice. The kind of kingdom I have is a kingdom of love, of justice, of peace, of chastity, of mercy, of forgiveness. These are the things that I'm teaching you about, that you learn to respect your elders, that you learn to love and support one another and encourage each other in the good things in life. That's the kind of shepherd. That's my voice. And so the first step we want to do if we want to be as smart as a sheep is learn to recognize our shepherd's voice. But here comes the other thing. That means we got to learn what is not our shepherd's voice. What is not our shepherd's voice. And not only not to recognize it, but then when we hear some other voice that is not the shepherd's voice, to run as fast as we can away from that shepherd. Church, are you praying with me? I wonder about that last point. Because there's something strange about us human beings. That a lot of times, when something is destructive in our life, we're more interested in it than anything. Hey man, let's go get drunk. What's that all about? See, again, even things that we know are harmful for us, we still find attractive. Now, what is coming through your internet? What is coming through the music and through the television and the radio? And what are we listening to all day? And are we saying, wait a minute, some of that is not the voice of my shepherd. And I'm not going to fill my mind with that pollution. St. Peter said today in the first reading, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Save yourself from this world gone mad. That's right, mad. Save yourself. And yet, you know what we do? We're sitting there looking at any stupid thing on the TV, and it may be completely godless, celebrating divorce or illicit sexual union or violence or God, just plain stupid stuff, and we just say, okay, look at it, come on in. And then we're drawn into it. Yeah, tell me more. And instead of fleeing from it, we go to it. The Bible says, flee fornication. But an awful lot of folks, they're looking at that pornography. An awful lot of folks are celebrating in the culture, and they just watch TV shows that celebrate teenagers involved in that. They celebrate all kinds of crazy, mixed-up situations on the TV, and they just say, well, it's normal. Well, it may be normal in terms of what's happening in the world, but church, and I'm going to tell you, young people, that is not normal for a Christian. That is not normal. A Christian loves the gift of sexuality and celebrates it in marriage. Now, that's what the Bible says, and that's the normal Christian life. There's a lot of violence in our TV, too. You know, usually, the typical adventure movie, I've told you this before, but the typical adventure movie says that violence is the way to solve a problem. I'm going to save you some money, young people. Pay attention. You don't have to shell out any more money for these movies. Every adventure movie, here's how it works. The beginning of the movie, something bad happens. Some evil person steps onto the scene, and they do something bad. And then our hero steps onto the scene. And after 90 minutes of killing people and breaking things and setting on things on fire, he finally resolves the problem, killing the evil man, and then walking off the scene with the girl in his arm, burning city in the background. Roll credits. All right. Okay, you don't need to go to them anymore. See, I've just solved it for you. Now, we live in a culture that celebrates that, see? Now, look, I'm not going to tell you there aren't just times where there's war. There's terrible things that happen. But we ought not celebrate it. There's no point in celebrating that. And I don't want you all to think, you know, if you have a steady diet of that stuff, you just think that having meltdowns and yelling and screaming and fighting and that's not the way. That is not the way to solve it. And yet we put out money and we go watch movies that are full of saturated with sex and with violence or with all kinds of things that are going on. And we just say, oh, it's kind of neat, man. It's kind of neat. It's not neat. Flee. That is not the voice of the shepherd. And all the celebration of drugs and alcohol and just bad behavior, that's not right. Are you praying with me? I know you're tired. I can see the look in some of your eyes. You've been up all night. This pastor needs to finish it up now, man. All right. They probably got to bed around 2:30, you know? All right. Now listen, just to start to wrap this up, I want to just say, listen, are you smarter than a sheep?
No.
Yes. Yes, there you go. All right. Are you? And the answer is twofold, that we recognize our shepherd's voice and that we're smart enough to run when we don't recognize his voice, and at least to stop celebrating and considering normal or decent or okay things that frankly just don't square with our shepherd's voice. Now, the final thought then is not just the situation that the sheep are in, and not just the shepherd of the sheep, finally the salvation of the sheep. And the Lord says, listen, I'm the gate. And if you enter through me, you're going to have pasture, and I'm going to give you life in abundance. So listen, and this is a very important point for all of us. Please understand, the Lord isn't just giving us a lot of thou shalt nots. The Lord is saying, listen, I have another life for you to live that's better for you than all of that stuff that the world has that leads ultimately to disease and to death and to confusion and broken families and broken hearts and all of the violence and the body count. I have something better for you. I have an abundant life to give you. In church, I want to just say I'm a witness, and I hope someone else in this church can witness with me that the Lord is good. And the Lord isn't just saying, don't walk that way. The Lord is saying, walk this way and come in and find pasture, and I'm going to give you life and give it to you abundantly. And so I want to testify that I've begun to take the Lord seriously in my life about 27 years ago when I went off to the seminary. And you know, I've been praying every day, reading scripture every day, going to mass every day, and certainly in God's house every Sunday. I've been doing all those things and getting to confession. I want you to know something. The Lord is doing something important in my life. He's blessing me. You see, I'm seeing sins put to death. I'm seeing joy come alive. I'm seeing excitement. I have a confidence I never thought I'd have. I have a serenity. I've even learned to love some of my enemies. Church, I want you to know my life is being changed, and all that energy that I wasted on anger and lust and greed and worldliness, that was just a waste of energy, and I was all worn out. You know, I'll tell you this much, it's so much nicer to just have more energy for good things. The Lord is changing my life. The Lord is giving me a new vision for my life. And I'm sorry it took me to age 27 to figure that out. And I hope and pray some of you young people will figure it out sooner. Make some good decisions. Do things that'll really build up and keep the doors in your life open for you. Because the Lord wants you to live abundantly. Abundantly. And since the Lord's entered into my life, I am so much more joyful, peaceful, serene, confident. The Lord's been good to me, and he's blessed me. And I pray that you'll accept that same invitation. And I hope that there's some witnesses over here, some who are parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and older brothers and sisters. I hope some of you can testify as well to our young people. The more you've agreed to follow the Lord and enter into the sheepfold and let him really be your shepherd, your life's been blessed. Your life's been blessed. There are some things we have no business doing, but that's not the end of Christianity. The end of Christianity is the Lord has given me a whole new life so that I don't even want to do most of those things anymore. Praise the Lord. So again, an offer, young people. And I want to end with a song. And some of us who are a little older know the song pretty well, but I'm praying that all of you have heard it before too, and I think you have. Again, are you smarter than a sheep? And part of being smart like a sheep is learning to hear God calling. God is calling. The shepherd's voice is echoing right now in your ears. And listen to this old song. How many times do I go against your will?
but then you forgive me. Yet I still turn around and do the things I shouldn't do, because I belong to you and I know you will come through. Lord, I know I take advantage of your grace here in this Christian race. Yet I still hear you calling my name. Oh, Lord, I've sinned. Lord, I've been a wayward sheep. But Lord, you're still calling my name. Yet I still hear you calling my name. So are you smarter than a sheep?
Yes.
Then just say after me, Lord.
I still
hear you calling. My name. Oh, you're on the way then. Praise God. Lord, I still hear you calling my name. You're calling my name to come into your arms, to be safe from fear and harm. Knowing this, I still often choose to go my way. And then you say, I am he who supplies your every need. Lord, I've sinned, but you're still calling my name. You want to be smart? Hear the Lord, and only the Lord. Flee every other voice, and let the Lord continue to call your name. Amen.